The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
KEFI Gold and Copper has just raised £34 million. There's also a £1 million retail offering in the wings. Here to tell us what that's all about, Harry Agnastaris Adams, the company's founder. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Nice to be here.
So £34 million, it's a big amount of money to raise on the equity markets. You've been into the equity markets fairly recently as well. So tell us a little bit about the strategic thinking that went behind the raise that you've just done.
Well, I think the best way to start it is to say that a couple of weeks ago, it was a Saturday after a family funeral in Sydney, and I was going to bed getting ready to have my last day there the next day on a Sunday and then head back over this way. And the family asked me, so how's it going? How's it going, Dad? You know, is it coming together? Have you got there? What's happening? And I said, well, it's all under control. It seems fine. Short of a war in the Middle East, we're under control. And as I was asleep in Sydney, my phone started pinging, telling me that I couldn't get on my flight the next day because of a war in the Middle East. So the point I'm making is that I think the whole world's got a bit frightened by what's going on in the Middle East, and all the markets are sort of wobbling because of it. And here we are, a company having been for so long preparing for this major push into production, thrown at risk by that incident from left field. And to be honest, between getting on my flight via LA to come back this way, going in the opposite direction of the Middle East, and landing, it was quite clear to me, consulted the board, and I said, you know, we just can't risk. We can't be finessing any longer, can't be taking any more time. You know, it's pee or get off the pot time for everybody involved with this. We have to go. So that's the roots of it, if I may say, what I'd call, whether you want to call it risk mitigation or reflex reaction or whatever you want to call it. It's trying to be wise to protect the company and everybody involved, the shareholders and everybody, from the possibility that for some reason that we might get blocked by what's going on in the Middle East and all its reverberations. So that's sort of point one. Point two is, you know, I worked for most of my working life with the longest standing family office, mining family office in Australia, the people who founded BHP. And if we were sitting around now at this moment and I was reporting to them as I did for all those years, you know, and one of them was the chair of BHP, one of them was the chair of the largest industrial conglomerate in the country, it was their money. And I'd say, well, Harry, you know, you're there. Very good. Well done. You made it. Okay. Raise a bit more money than you need and pedal to the metal, Harry. Get on with it and push hard on your next project. They'd be the words ringing in my ears from the elders of that family, who I respect deeply, eighth generation mining wealth. And so those two things, if you like, summarize it. I can put it into financial analytical terms, but to give an explanation for, you know, how does one pivot? Why does one pivot? One is a shock from left field, which could be dangerous. And the other one is do the wise thing, protect the business, and let's get on with it. And create real value in a way that we've been waiting for so long, yeah? So that's it, Alistair. It's fairly fundamental risk mitigation and going for it on our second project and exploration.
Yeah, so important to emphasise, I suppose, that the funding for Tulu Kapi is now completely in place, you mentioned just a moment ago, raise more than you need. So you've got enough money to get Tulu Kapi built now with contingency in place, and you've already started work.
Yeah, we started work some time ago, a couple of months ago, and we've already had groundbreaking, and the first phase of the people being resettled off the land have been paid, and so on. But, how would I put it? The momentum's building, the direction's clear, the government's right behind us, the PM turned up for the groundbreaking, and all that sort of stuff. And we have an absolute obligation to follow through and deliver. And frankly, given world events and a bit of volatility around us, we couldn't wait any longer for finessing deals with any third party. We had to get on with it.
So what do you make of this volatility then, Harry? The gold price in particular has been gyrating a little bit around over the last few weeks. Do you have any sort of thoughts on the broader picture?
Well, I mean, I haven't got any better insight than most people. I mean, my thoughts for what they're worth are that the world's got a bit of a fright from the behaviour of the US, and it's a bit frightening against a very strident and brutal little enemy. You always give someone a way out. You always give an enemy a way out of a negotiation, so to speak. And that needs to be seen and needs to be got on with, because the whole world's in a bit of a state of concern, I think, over what's going on. I get asked questions. What if the world had no oil? How would Tulu Kapi go? I say, well, if the world had, it's not going to be have no oil, but crikey, if the world got cut off from major oil supplies from the Middle East, it's got more to worry about than Tulu Kapi. And Tulu Kapi doesn't get its diesel supply from that part of the world anyway. But be that as it may, I think the world's a bit frightened, to be blunt. So it's risk off on quite a few markets. And I think gold's just doing its job, I don't think that necessarily drives gold down, but I think the rush to liquidity drives gold down. And then when everyone's got whatever liquidity they need to stuff under their mattress or pay off their margin loans or whatever it is, gold will recover. Gold will be the main beneficiary of all this instability, I'm sure. But in the meantime, it's also doing its job from day to day, week to week. It's providing a deep liquid market for people to get their hands on cash, and to a small extent, without making too much of it, on the AIM market, KEFI's got one of the most liquid stocks. And there are times where there's a bad day in the market and nothing happened to KEFI, but KEFI gets sold off quite a bit because it's a liquid stock and people can sell it to get some cash if they need cash. And sometimes they can't sell their other stocks or whatever. So gold is doing its job and it'll recover, when the right moment arrives to settle down.
And in the meantime, as each day goes by, KEFI gets closer to producing gold itself at Tulu Kapi. Just to close us out, Harry, perhaps tell us or remind us what does the news flow look like from KEFI in the coming months?
Well, there's big headings and lots of news under each heading. Priority number one is Tulu Kapi's development to get it up and running. That's priority number one, far, far away from any other priority. And that itself has a whole stream of, news to give reports to people as to this was done and that was done and that's complete and that's happened. That sort of reporting against the development schedule will flow. The second thing is that the priority number two, which is getting gold exploration going in Ethiopia, we haven't been in a position to do that for a very long time. And to be honest, the government, which is sitting there saying, Harry, or whoever they were talking to, but whenever it was meant to be Harry, get Tulu Kapi under construction, and then we'll sort out all these other areas that you want to get hold of. You know, they were just trying to keep our feet to the fire, or whatever you want to call it. And therefore, you know, the moment has arrived where we can have the opportunity to get on with it. And, you know, in my mind, it's a, you know, it's Kalgoorlie 1974. Kalgoorlie had one gold mine in 1974. When I arrived in Ethiopia, it had one gold mine, Lega Dembe. And it's been artisanal. It's the same geology, but it was an empire and not welcoming outsiders until recently. And there's been artisanal mining there for 4,000 years. So there's, that gold's coming from somewhere, and no one's done the work for it. So I've got no doubt it'll be another Kalgoorlie district, and we need to get out there amongst it. So that's priority number two. And there'll be a string of things to report in that respect. If you like, identifying the second Tulu Kapi and the third Tulu Kapi and that sort of idea. And, you know, in that little sweeping statement I just made, I even forgot to mention our most important opportunity, and that is the underground mine at Tulu Kapi. We can get on with that as well. So, you know, it shows you how much we have to do, we can do, to add a lot of value. And then there's a third priority, and I put Saudi in that, in this basket, if you like. There's a pipeline of projects in what I call the critical material space, which is, you know, there's billions of dollars being allocated to chase critical material supply through Africa and the Middle East. And we're no stranger to those discussions and deliberations. And we're starting, we haven't had a lot of time to work on it until we got Tulu Kapi on the road. But we're working on and looking at how to create a separate subsidiary or structure that's separately funded, separately managed, and tackles that great opportunity of billions of dollars chasing the things we can do in that part of the world in the critical material space. We've already made major discoveries in that space in Saudi Arabia, and we'd like to monetize that value for shareholders. At the moment, it does nothing for our shareholders, and yet we've achieved so much, and there's so much we could do. That's priority number three. So what I've listed there are headings, not so much individual milestones, but there's so much we can do beyond just simply developing Tulu Kapi, which is under control as a whole team, and it's being implemented, and now it's all fully funded, and we'll start to turn to those other things now as we move forward.
Well, we look forward to watching you guys make progress on many different fronts then, Harry, especially with the construction at Tulu Kapi. Good luck with it, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Alistair. Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.